The Old Testament reading for our sunrise celebration of the resurrection of our Lord comes from the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury, it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 5th chapter. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. It is finished. See, we don't have an Easter response for that one, do we? That's because these words of Jesus aren't usually applied to Easter Sunday. In fact, we usually don't even hear those words today. Those are Good Friday words. Words that Jesus spoke from the cross as he was dying on our behalf. And that's not what we're thinking about right now, is it? Easter is about celebration and joy, about Jesus' glorious resurrection, not his suffering and death. That's Lent, and we've put Lent behind us. Now that Easter's here, we are once again able to shout Alleluia without restraint. We are singing the full liturgy in all of its glory instead of leaving out parts as a reminder of repentance. The somber purple pyramids are gone, replaced with the shining beauty of white. If we're honest about it, maybe Easter's the season where we should be covering up the crosses instead of Lent, because Easter is all about the empty tomb, and we don't really look to the cross that much, which is why we typically don't shout, "It is finished," today. But would that really be so bad to do so? I mean, after all, without the cross, there would be no empty tomb. Without the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, there could be no victorious resurrection, no redemption of our sinful world. And so words from the cross, they certainly aren't out of place, even at the empty tomb. In fact, it might just get people's attention, open up some great conversations. Now, I am not talking about getting rid of Alleluia or Christ is risen. Those are wonderful shouts of joy that we can and should take great pride in proclaiming. But how fitting it is as well to echo the words of our Lord spoken in the agony of the cross as we look into the empty tomb and shout in triumph, "It is finished." On Easter, we celebrate that Jesus Christ's suffering is over. All throughout the season of Lent, our focus was upon the cross, on the suffering and the torment that our Lord endured on our behalf. All through that season, we somberly recognize that because of our sin, Jesus had to endure the pains of hell itself, suffering the full extent of God's righteous wrath, not just in the suffering of his body, but in the suffering of his soul. He endured it all for us. And we look to the cross and we feel great sorrow at what we have done to our Lord, how we have caused him to suffer. Every stroke of the whip, it was because of our sin. Every agonized breath, it was because of our transgression. Every pain that racked his body as he was nailed to the cross and lifted up in pain and shame, all of that was because we disobeyed God and we could not pay the penalty that we deserved. But now that Easter has come, our focus shifts and we rejoice that Jesus' suffering is over. He gave his life once for all. He does not suffer eternally to keep paying for every new sin that we commit. Every time we disobey, it's not like we're adding another lash to Jesus today. His perfect sacrifice upon the cross, it was sufficient for all sin ever committed. Now, this doesn't mean that we now ignore the cross until Lent rolls around again next year. We are always conscious of it. It is always in the center of our hearts and our minds because it is the very source of our salvation. But today, as we celebrate Easter, we rejoice that Jesus' suffering is over and done. It is finished. But of course, that's not all that Easter marks the end of. When Jesus rose from the grave, It wasn't just a victory for one very important battle that day. We celebrate that the entire war with Satan for our souls is over, and Jesus Christ is the victor. He has won. It is finished. As Jesus hung on the cross, Satan absolutely thought he had won. He and his evil minions, they laughed and they jeered, high-fiving each other, cheering and rejoicing in what they thought was their ultimate victory. I mean, after all, isn't that the goal of any war? Crush the enemy, humiliate them, kill them. Show it to the world that you have destroyed the one who stood in your way. Satan had done just that. He killed God. And so that makes him the winner, right? Well, under normal circumstances, yes, it would. But Satan, in his arrogance, didn't realize that the cross of Jesus Christ was God's plan all along. That through the holy, innocent, willing death of Jesus Christ, Satan had not won, but had instead sealed his own fate. Imagine the shock in hell on Easter Sunday. The look on the face of the devil and his demons when Jesus appeared before them. Not as a broken, defeated enemy begging for mercy, but as the victorious conqueror who came to proclaim his eternal victory. That's what Jesus did. When we confess in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus Christ descended into hell, it wasn't to suffer more. It wasn't to give everyone who is in hell one last chance to believe and get on the heaven train with him. It was to thumb his nose at the devil, to take a victory lap, to proclaim to Satan, "Your plan failed. You lost. I am victorious." What better place than the stronghold of the enemy, the midst of hell itself, to shout in victory to the devil and to all his demons, "It is finished. I win. You lose." Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we are no longer afflicted by sin. If that were the case, there would be no need for Lent. There'd be no need for confession and forgiveness. And really, there'd be no reason to celebrate Easter. Satan has lost the war. And yet, he continues to snarl and thrash and try to drag as many people down with him as he can to convince everyone, no, he's really still the winner. He's got this under control. As a good friend of mine always said, the devil is a corpse that doesn't have the good graces to lie down. He's defeated. It is finished. But he is going to do everything he can to convince us that he still has ultimate power, that he's the one who actually won, that we would be better off on his side. And as sinners, we listen sometimes. Often, in fact. We give in to temptation. We run headlong into sin. We knowingly and unknowingly turn away from God's word and wisdom to follow the ways of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, and we suffer many pains and sorrows because of it. But as Christians, even as we sin, even as we listen to the devil's lies, we are blessed to know the truth, the real truth, the eternal truth. Through that God-given gift of faith, even as we stumble and fall in our sin, we rejoice in the eternal victory that Jesus won as he rose from the grave and broke the chains of death forever. Death has been swallowed up in victory, and Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil for all eternity. It is finished. And that alone is a good enough reason for all of us to rejoice this Easter Sunday. That Jesus Christ will suffer no more, that he has defeated death itself, and that he has crushed the serpent's head. But you know what's great? God, our loving Heavenly Father, he is not content to give us just good enough. Our Easter celebration is not just about the fact that Jesus won a victory. Today, we celebrate that Jesus has won our victory. Everything that Jesus has done, every victory that he earned, every triumph of his that we celebrate today, it is our victory, our triumph. By faith, you are not just a spectator in Jesus' Easter victory, but you now receive the full benefits of it. He won the war. You reap the rewards. In baptism, you are united with Jesus Christ in his death to sin and in his resurrection to eternal life. You are given the crown of life, the eternal victory that he earned. He has conquered all of your enemies, and he has given you the victory. It is finished. You, personally, you are saved by Jesus' death and resurrection. Even as you continue to struggle with sin, the full and eternal Easter victory of Jesus Christ, it is yours. You don't deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. And yet, out of a divine love that we can never comprehend, you are given the eternal victory of Jesus Christ himself. You are clothed with his own robe of righteousness. You are washed clean by his blood, proclaimed holy, innocent, and righteous before God's throne of judgment. All because of his sacrificial death on your behalf and his glorious resurrection for your victory. His victory is your victory. All that he suffered, all that he won, all of it was for you because he loves you. Your sin is washed away from you as far as the east is from the west because Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh, willingly suffered and died upon the cross to pay the full penalty of your sin. And he rose again from the grave to break the chains of death and hell that bound you. And this is an absolute fact. It has been done for you by God himself. It is finished. We speak with confidence, with absolute certainty about the resurrection of our Lord from the dead that gives us sinners eternal forgiveness. We celebrate not a possibility, not something that might happen eventually, not even something that probably happened. We celebrate the absolutely certain fact that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who suffered and died in our place, is no longer dead, and that his resurrection is our resurrection. His victory is our victory. How can we be so sure? Because God himself has done it, and God himself tells us what it means for each of us. God, who is holy, perfect, and immortal, he gave his life for you. God, the creator of all things, suffered and died in your place to pay for your sin. God, who is almighty and rules over all things, rose again from the grave, swallowing up death forever. God, whose word created the universe, has declared, "It is finished." So it is finished. Despite our sin, despite our doubts, despite all the whispering and snarling and snapping that the devil fills our lives with, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by that alone, it is finished. We have been given Christ's eternal victory. We have been given the greatest reason ever to celebrate. And by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, we have been forgiven of all of our sins, and heaven itself is ours, both now and forevermore. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.